this, the fifth episode of Brashcast with me, Liam Pritchard, and as always, Ross Frame.
Hello.
So, I'm going to go straight into things here and let you know my cat is a gaming snob.
All right, okay.
Yeah, there it is. I can put all the controllers on the couch. Like, the 360 will be there, the TV remote will be there, sometimes even the fucking Wii remote's there. She'll always, Lucy, my cat, she'll always just go up and nibble on the PlayStation 3 controller. So I'm not sure what that means. If she really likes it or she hates it. What do you think?
I'm trying to decide. That's a weird one.
It is a weird one. But yeah, like I said, I just think she's a bit of a gaming snob. She just goes up, she'll just dismiss all other controllers and go straight to the PS3 one. In fairness, I mean, you know, each their own, I guess, but I'm not sure if all cats have a preference for PlayStation 3s, but it seems Lucy certainly does.
You'd think a dog would quite like a Wii remote, because you can just chuck it.
Yeah, it works like a bone, doesn't it? That makes perfect sense. You throw a Wii remote for a dog, you'd expect it to chase it, it works perfectly.
That's it. You know what, that sounds like a Peter Molyneux game.
Yeah, it does,
like,
doesn't it?
You know, you bury your Wiimote, and your dog has to find it.
Yeah, the only thing you'd end up on Kinect. And whatever happened to that Kinect game? Where, you know, the really creepy one where you were playing with, like, a young boy?
Oh, Milo.
Yeah, that looked weird, man.
It was that very uncanny valley.
Like, yeah.
Hello, I'm going to kill you. What did you just say, Milo? I said, I want to be your friend.
Yeah, it kind of, it's like how a horror movie starts, isn't it? Like,
why it sounds kind of camp German.
Yeah,
you
did, yeah. Well, would it be more scary?
Yeah,
if you had a camp German child on the computer who came out of the screen to kill you.
I think that's The Ring.
Yeah, but this is, you know, this is a modern day take on The Ring. I mean, who the fuck, you know, watches VHS anymore? You can't have The Ring anymore. It just doesn't work. Even if you've got a tape which has got, dead kid on it who will come out of the TV and kill you, who the hell has got a VHS?
I suppose they're those tapes with dead kids are pretty hard to come by.
They are.
And really big in the 90s, but not so big now.
Not so big now. And even if you did have one, I mean, let's be honest, the only place that's realistically going to happen is maybe like South America. I can imagine they've still got a couple of VHSs knocking around in Brazil.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure killer videotapes are actually the number one cause of death in South America.
South America, yeah. A lot of people getting killed there. Very sad.
Yeah.
But here, I mean, the tape's just going to sit there. So hence why I think we need a Kinect-enabled Milo German childcare. I mean, you've already put down the voice. I can see him coming out of the screen,
yes,
killing mercilessly.
Microsoft, if you're listening.
Yeah, Microsoft, if you're listening, please don't do this. I don't think, you know, this is not how people need to die.
Yeah.
But I can totally see that being a horror film. I can see that being a horror film. But anyway.
Updated for the next generation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, The Ring's old school, you know, connects the way of the future.
Yeah, more like The Red Ring.
The Red Ring. That sounds like a porno. I mean, again, you're seeing German voices. The Red Ring. I mean, surely.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's like when you just call it the Dirt Valley. You know, it's just... We're getting away from subject here and all, but things are already getting quite perverse here.
It's an odd start to a podcast.
It is an odd start to the podcast. But, you know, it's better than last week's. Last week's I opened, we're talking about poo. So,
like I say, open. Just don't use opened when you're talking about your
it's already gone downhill. But hey, okay, we're gonna jump away from that now. And, you know, something a bit more run-of-the-mill.
Yes.
What have you been doing this week, sir?
Apart from, well, games-wise, I have, first of all, finished Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
No, just a little late.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I was holding off because I do really like Modern Warfare 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first one was amazing. I had played Battlefield on the PC, mm-hmm. but I didn't have a PC that would run it well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't really have any kind of modern shooters that were anything mm-hmm. like Call of Duty. And when Modern Warfare 4 came out, it was just awesome.
Wasn't it strange when it came out? It suddenly seemed like an absolute no-brainer, because they've been doing World War II shooters for years.
Yeah.
And it was like somebody suddenly came out and said, why don't we just do one, you know, like, now?
Yeah.
And it was amazing, because Call of Duty 2, I remember doing reasonably well. If anything, Call of Duty 2 was it was a bit of a sleeper hit almost, wasn't it,
on the
360, because everyone was expecting Perfect Dark to be the big seller, and it turned out to be pretty shit.
It just makes me sad when I think of what that could have been.
I know, and what it should have been. That was such a disappointment. Everyone was hoping for, like, modern-day GoldenEye, and it just turned out to be a bit of a tit. I mean, it wasn't terrible. It just wasn't
I finished it.
I didn't finish it.
And I played the multiplayer. A little bit.
It was fine. It took like a million shots to kill anyone, though. They had too much armor.
Yeah.
So you had to shoot people in the face from like point blank range 4 or 5 times. And it's just any game like that, it just feels like a chore. And the visuals weren't all that good. The guns were kind of cool.
I mean, like I say, it was a launch title. And the thing is, it was because it was Rare. Mm. People were like, oh, Rare, they're coming back. Oh, wow, it's a franchise that we know.
Yeah.
And then they were like,
And nobody took in consideration it being in development for like 6 years on like 3 different consoles.
Yeah.
Because they started on the GameCube, then it moved to the original Xbox.
Yeah, because there was the whole rights issue with Nintendo.
Yeah, and then they moved it to the 360. And, you know, you could see, it was like a last-gen game, wasn't it? And it just wasn't the future of gaming we'd been hoping for.
It was basically, you know, the old sheepdog that's gone blind and incontinent. And you just wanted to put it down.
And, yeah. Not even with any kind of mercy either. I mean,
well, I don't know about you. I would certainly feel sorry for any dog I had to do that to.
Yeah, but not if it was a perfect dark dog. I mean, if it's a
robot dog.
Yeah, I would. You know, if I had to use a shotgun, and so it might be a bit messy, but I'd want to make sure it was dead.
A dog that just doesn't look right.
It just doesn't look right. An abomination. If you will, yeah, this dog, it doesn't deserve to live. And let's be honest, if I'm thinking about, you know, shooting a dog with a shotgun.
We've already covered this. People are going to think that we are somehow anti-dog, and I'm very much not the case.
Why is this?
Well, because remember you were talking about wanting to shoot the dog from Duck Hunt.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, just so people know, and like, what was it, Peter?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't get upset, like, I really like dogs, I don't plan on shooting one, but if I do run into a perfect dark-looking dog, then yeah, I'm going to fucking put an end to him.
If this turns out to be one of those situations where your cats have actually, like, controlled you, like, some kind of weird mind.
Well, look at the way Bryn's looking at me now. He's a weird cat. I wouldn't be surprised if he had children with corn powers. Cats of the corn.
And then sniffing a shoot. In fact, Lucy's giving me a look like, shut up.
Yeah, honestly, if I kill a dog for any particular reason, it was probably, you can blame the cats, I think. That's what I reckon.
Okay, let's hope that one holds up in court.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. It was the cats?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to fly at all.
Anyway.
But yeah, we're not going
to
kill any dogs.
That's from killing dogs to Call of Duty 2, because there is some of that in that game.
Yeah.
Call of Duty 2 is obviously like a massive improvement on it.
Yeah, it was good, and Call of Duty 3 was fine. Although that was when Treyarch was seen as the kind of poor Mongo kind of cousin, weren't they?
I don't know.
In trouble for saying that.
Yeah, it's a much more commonly used phrase in Scotland, but it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be at all. No. Do you know what the worst thing was? I was thinking about calling Treyarch their retarded brother, and I went, no, don't say that. People are going to get upset. I'll call it Mongo.
You know what? Listening back to the podcast, you use the R word so much.
And I don't mean it in, it's just because I've seen too much. I've just seen it, like, South Park too much.
Yeah.
It's like the way I would say gay as well. I've got nothing against gay people. Like, you know, each to their own completely. But because of South Park, I do end up saying, oh, that's gay. That's super gay. It's such a lame thing to say.
We've gone from blaming the cats to blaming South Park.
South Park,
TV made me do it.
Yeah, basically, it just wasn't me. So if I upset anyone, it was either TV or the cats. That's about it. But yeah, Call of Duty 3 was fine. But it was, you know, the World War II genre was running out of legs. You know, there was the Night of Honor thing, and it was just everyone had a titsful. And the thing that amazes me now, looking back, is that it took so long for someone to say, let's do a modern shooter. And Call of Duty 4 was huge.
I mean, because at the time you've had things like Rainbow Six, which is...
Yeah, but it was
a much more tactical shooter.
Yeah,
yeah. And
the thinking man shooter, dare I say.
I would say that, yeah. Definitely.
By comparison to Call of Duty, anyway.
It was so much fun going... Like, because when the new Rainbow Six, The Patriots, comes out,
yeah.
I will be playing that online.
Oh, yeah, I really liked it.
I will be cleaning up because people...
saying this now. People are going to be out just to shoot you, just to kill your ass.
People will have gone from playing Call of Duty in Halo to playing Rainbow Six, where if you don't take cover and look where you're going, you will die.
Well, it's closer to like Ghost Recon, isn't it? Which I've been playing again online recently. And the more I play that game, Ghost Recon, I feel like it should have been a bigger deal because I'm thinking... Come the conversation at the end of the year when I'm talking about my games of the year, I'm thinking Future Soldier is going to be in there.
The issue I had with Future Soldier is just that the story is very forgettable. It's very generic Tom Clancy.
It is quite generic, but I thought it was one of the better ones I don't know why, like, there's nothing particularly memorable about it, but, like, the whole story, I was like, yeah, this is fine.
Like, I can remember the odd level, but, yeah. I mean, the tech was fun. I mean, yeah. That's always the case with Ghost Recon, the toys that they give you.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing is, though, you can play so much of the game without actually shooting anyone, because I spend so much of my time, feels like a bit of a cheat, is just sending up the drone and just marking targets all around.
Yeah.
And it almost turns into, like, a kind of game of chess, because obviously, say you've got 6-7 enemies, you don't want them to see the dead body, so you send up the drone and you think, well, I could shoot 4, take out 4, but you're like, oh, no, but, you know, they'll see them. So
yeah.
You end up taking them out, like, 2 here, 2 there, and it becomes quite a tactical kind of game without ever actually shooting anyone yourself.
Yeah, that whole sync aspect.
I think that's great.
That was pretty cool.
That was the same for a similar thing they did in Splinter Cell Conviction, another game which I think was much better than people gave it credit for. When you lined up those, like, the sinks,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're in a room and you just stand up, just like, take out all 3. I was like, yeah, that was badass.
Yeah, it makes you feel really badass. I think the people that had an issue with it, it did simplify the game quite a lot.
Yeah, but it was just more fun, and it made me feel more badass. Like, the original Splinter Cells, yeah, they were fine stuff, but sometimes it just felt like I was waiting for people to, you know, walk through their pre-designed script of, like, oh, he's going to walk up the corridor, yeah. He's going to walk back, I'm going to sneak up behind him. If he catches me, it's the end of the mission. Now, yeah. It's like, I feel like, yeah, I can do the whole, you know, sneaking dealio,
yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, you know, if the shit hits the fan, then he's still kind of badass enough to deal with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and it was the same with Ghost Recon. Like, it has been simplified, arguably, compared to previous releases, but for those moments when you can line up your whole team...
I don't know, in my opinion, Ghost Recon came down far too much to firefights.
Yeah.
I didn't feel
like... Yeah, they were too much. That's when it's at its weakest.
Because the level design seemed kind of generic. That was another issue I had. Like, it was very much a... Like, this is the very narrow bit where you have to take out your targets.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't worry, because the next group is further up the path, and they won't, like, they're not going to see these bodies.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas there is a touch of that.
There is a bit where it's like, right, okay, now there's lots of cover, so you know you're going to be ambushed.
Well, you know what that is, don't you? That is, to bring it full circle, that is the Call of Duty effect.
Yeah.
Basically, obviously, they wanted to keep true to a certain degree to the Ghost Recon template, but everybody wants these big moments now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's all about that kind of ebb and flow. Okay, you have the big wow moment when, you know, alarms go out the window and, you know, you have to get into a firefight, but then we'll kind of bring it back and say, okay, this is the kind of traditional, you know, slower pace, quieter gameplay.
Yeah.
And I personally thought, without question, that game was at its best when you are just sneaking around, offing teams of people and, you know, not being noticed.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, that's when it's always worked at its best like that. And like you say, when you are kind of forced into a firefight, yeah, it works fine, but then it's just kind of generic shooter territory and it's just, you know, it kind of loses what's special about it anyway.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
But Call of Duty 3, Modern Warfare 3, what did you think of it?
It was, I mean...
Fine.
It definitely had that Hollywood blockbuster thing that Call of Duty
has gone for. Well, that's the least you can expect, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the gameplay itself was nothing new.
Do you find, like, I found, like, you know, like Transformers the movie, especially the third one, which was a bit shit, but there was, like, so many cool things which happened. Like, the acting's rubbish, the storyline's mince, but there are a lot of cool moments, for instance, in Transformers 3. And there were so many of them, and it was like Call of Duty, that I just became numb to everything. It's like, oh, another crashing helicopter. I just don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, if they were a bit more subtle and kind of spread out a bit, these moments would have so much more of an effect. But instead, it's like one near-death moment after another. And by the second level, I'm just like, ugh, nothing's going to impress me now.
I think what they were going for was this, the shit has hit the fan, you know. World War III, that is what, that's the theme.
Totally. I got the scale and stuff, but it just felt like every 2 minutes there was another, like, wow moment kind of thing. And it was like, it was impressive. But as I said, I just personally became numb to it after, like, the 17th time a building blew up right in front of me.
It was good fun, but it wasn't surprising.
No. It doesn't do it. You know, it does what Call of Duty does. In fairness, Call of Duty is a good, solid game. The multiplayer, regardless of what people say, is very good. It's the best of what it does. And if you have any doubt, just look at the numbers. People aren't playing it because it's the popular thing after 2-3 years. It's because it's very good.
Yeah, very well designed. Obviously, there are ways to break the game.
Yeah, but they do a lot, considering the amount of hours you think of the amount of accumulated hours that are spent playing that game.
Yeah.
They will find each and every tiny little bug in that game and exploit it. The fact that there are many is almost a miracle.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's a testament to the design that the game can be played for these millions and millions of hours and only a handful of loopholes or
to
whatever.
To be fair, kudos to Call of Duty, because I got Battlefield at launch.
Yeah.
And although I much prefer the multiplayer for Battlefield, I still haven't finished the campaign.
Oh, shit. For it. It's rubbish.
It looks amazing.
It looks great, but it's got so many moments, like those old school moments where it's like spawning enemies, and so much is kind of dependent. Even more so, the thing is, over time, Call of Duty, while it is really bad at kind of funneling you down one route, and obviously you must see these big moments, it's doing a better and better job of masking it, so you don't realise it's happening. You're being funneled, but you don't... It was kind of like the masters of it have always been Valve.
Yeah.
Like Half-Life 2 is a linear game, but you don't realise you're being funneled that like through it. And Call of Duty has progressively, I think, personally, been getting better at that. But now Battlefield suddenly try and do the same thing, and you can see every signpost in that game. You can see every respawning enemy. And it was just like, you know, like you
said, lazy.
It looked great, but it was just obviously them trying to, you know, jump on the Call of Duty bandwagon, and it really shows. Yeah. I think, you know, you bet. I actually really enjoyed the, what's the other EA one? We mentioned it earlier.
Medal of Honor.
I actually really enjoyed the last Medal of Honor.
I really didn't.
Really?
No.
I enjoyed the multiplayer.
I like the bit where you're on quad bikes, that was fun.
Yeah, I like the whole thing. And it was especially the multiplayer, because I like Battlefield, I like the idea of Battlefield, but the stages, I think, are often too big and I get bored.
Yeah.
Call of Duty is too close combat often, so it's like, no matter what you're doing, you know, shots can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
Whereas I just felt like Medal of Honor found that balance between the two. And out of the three games, I've definitely played Medal of Honor more, even though it's got less modes, just because I just really enjoyed the kind of the size and the pace
of
the game.
But it's strange, because Medal of Honor, although, well, the multiplayer itself was DICE.
Yeah, but you could see it was DICE.
Was it a single player?
No, DICE did the multiplayer. And you can see the Battlefield template there, but they've obviously...
Frostbite 2.
Frostbite
2 engine.
But they've obviously scaled down... Because it's got all the game modes you would expect from a Battlefield, but the scale has been, you know, turned down a notch.
Yeah.
And it just makes it a lot more immediate, and it suits consoles better. Because as good as Battlefield is, it still feels like a PC game to me. Like, and what is it? Is it a 32-player cap on the Xbox?
I think, yeah.
Compared to, like, 64 or 100 or whatever it is on the PC. And some of the levels feel really sparse.
Yeah. But saying that,
it's still a good game.
It depends on how you play as well, I suppose.
Silence, cat. You done?
Yeah, I think they're done.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. They'll wait till like a PSV controller.
Yeah. Dirty stop out.
But, so finished Modern Warfare 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no surprises. Good. Not a bad game, by any.
But as you say, no surprises.
Like, Call of Duty, it gets a lot of flack because it's now the cool thing to hate.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all games are like Call of Duty. It's like, well, no, they're not. Call of Duty is just the one that appeals to that kind of Joe on the street, you know?
And a lot of dicks.
Yeah.
If you go online, there are a lot of... Mind you, that's across all games, but there seems to be a lot of dicks playing Call of Duty.
You know, it's the same crowd that's playing, you know, the new FIFA and Tiger Woods and...
Yeah, they're kind of mass appeal games, and people are just going after Call of Duty because it's... King of the Hill at the moment.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, while I'm not the biggest fan of Call of Duty, it's a decent franchise. The games are good. They're well made.
Yeah.
You know, I'll happily... For all my criticism, I end up buying each and every one. I'll play the campaign. I don't spend a huge amount of time...
I'm a little bit worried about how good Black Ops seems to be looking, because it looks interesting. It looks different.
Mm. Yeah, the visual style has almost got like a touch of the Metal Gear about it. That kind of almost...
Yeah, but it's quasi-futuristic as well.
Metallic thing. Yeah. Yeah, I think it looks okay, but again, I'm just worried that it's going to be the same old, you know, one set piece after another. But I have no doubt whatsoever I'll be getting it. But out of the shooters, like the one I'm looking forward to playing is Medal of Honor again. Definitely the new one.
To be honest, I can't get over how much I loved the original.
Like, Medal of Honor?
The first two.
Oh, the one with the beach landing and stuff like that?
No, that was on the PC. I'm talking about the PlayStation, like the very first one.
Oh yeah, the first. Tommy Patterson. Yeah.
And it was just amazing. Like it had things like. I bet you
if you went back and played it now, it would be soup.
Like Soldier of Fortune had maybe done it like around a kind of contemporary time, but you're looking at things like damage detection, like for particular limbs.
You
shoot them in the foot and they hop.
You shoot them in the head and the helmet comes off.
And
that was quite a big deal back then.
You shoot them in the groin and they clutch their. It's like comedy Germans. They clutch their groin.
The thing is, I mean, back then, though, we were so starved for first-person shooters that we would have taken anything. It wasn't until...
It was after the demise of Duke Nukem and stuff like that, really.
Yeah, and, I mean, he's never making a comeback. I hope not. That last game was rubbish.
And he's
a thing of the past. Like, the humor's just so fucking 90s.
If you think
I have no interest
like, in... It was Gearbox that made that, and then you look at what they've done
with Borderlands. It's amazing that it's the same... Is it Randy Pitchford?
He got really defensive when people didn't like. He
really did like support that game, like it was going to be a big deal, and it was just garbage.
I like any CEO of a developer that is really behind his franchise.
Yeah, he was, but he backed the wrong horse there, man.
I think he got emotionally invested, and then when it all kind of crumbled, I think he blamed the reviews because they were like. Reviews are telling people how to feel about the game, and it's like, you know what?
Every
game gets that.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing is, not every reviewer is going to be out to get you. It was just a shit game.
It was pretty bad.
It was a bad game, but hey, they made Borderlands, that's good. Everyone's happy again. Everyone's forgotten about Duke Nukem. To be honest, Duke Nukem, leave him in the past. He was never that funny in the first place. I wasn't excited about seeing him again anyway, and I'm certainly not anymore after that.
Is it not Gearbox that are doing the new Aliens? I know it's with Sega.
Colonial Marines as well. That I am excited about. And that's one of the few games where I'm excited about the Wii U. With the motion tracker. I'm like, yeah, that looks pimp.
I have so many memories of playing the Alien trilogy with my mum on the PS1.
That was an amazing game. No, I didn't play with my mum. That's a strange fucking game to play with your mum.
Yeah, it was a weird one. Like,
of all the games, like if I was going to play a game with my mum, it would be like Wii Sports or a Mario game. You were playing Alien trilogy.
Which
back then was like really violent.
Yeah. It was more the fact that, like, we'd just be walking along through these levels, and as soon as the motion tracker beeps, my mum literally just fling the controller at me, like, "No, you deal with it. I've got ironing to do or something.
Just can't do this anymore." So it never lasted long. But so you played Max Payne with your dad and Alien Trilogy with your mum.
Yeah,
it's a strange combination of video games to play with your parents, right? Not many people have that.
It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. But did you get onto anything else, or was it just
Skyrim? I've gone back, made a new character.
Still haven't put that on yet.
Basically,
it's going to be like this every week. Where I'm just like, have you played Skyrim yet? Nope.
Liam's Skyrim update.
Still haven't played.
It's just that bit of the podcast where you can actually hear the tumbleweed go past. Yeah, the microphone.
I've actually started a diary. I'm on day 702, still no Skyrim. That is all it says for every single day. So, expect that to be updated for, you know, the rest of time.
Yeah. I made a new character. Mm-hmm. I'm already, like, maybe 5 hours in.
Yeah.
And just falling in.
So, what, you've literally just started the game again?
Yeah.
Oh, it's mad.
I've abandoned an 80-hour save.
Do you not think, you know, there are other games to play? I'm just like, it's such a commitment of time, especially to, like, you spent 80 hours on it. I can't imagine, like, even games I've loved, 80 hours in, I finished the game, I'm like, that is it. I will never play this again, as much as I enjoyed it. And you're willing to start again.
I really am. Like, I was only level 45, and...
Only.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you get, like, the really hard to kill bosses
at
level 70, I think. Like, jeez. They're super dragons, basically.
My kind of taste of that. Cause,
like, the real issue was that the game had glitched.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main, like, you get these quests set by, like, certain factions.
Yeah.
So there's things like, and it's kind of like the staple throughout all Elder Scrolls games. So you've got the Mage's Guild.
Yeah.
So that's obviously all magic related.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Thieves Guild, which is all sneaking and stuff. You got the companions in this one. It was previously the
companions. Just, is that like an online dating site?
No, see, that's what I thought. It's a little bit. It's after watching Firefly, you're like,
it does, didn't it? Yeah. Companions, or is it just a nice way of saying, you know, whores?
Yeah, they're basically the Fighters Guild.
Yeah. And they're called companions.
Yeah,
it's the shittest name ever for a Fighters Guild.
It doesn't sound particular. I'm a companion.
Yeah, we're the companions.
Saying they are like big beefy people with like shields and axes and
head to toe latex. I'm sure that's not the case.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but the companions quest, they all have like a secret, like, that is really awesome.
I jokes aside, I will play it eventually, but I've just got so many other games to play, and today I was reading about Final Fantasy 13-3 coming out. I know I'm the only person who gives a shit, but I am going to dip a toe and I'm going to get involved in Final Fantasy 13-2, and I know that's going to be me done for quite some time.
Yeah.
The only thing is, it's between that and Pro Evo, so it's like, I'm just going to have no time for anything else, which is just bad news.
Yeah, career mode. They don't realise just it's actually harming your career having this.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. I mean, since I got Pro Evo, I mean, that'll be me for a while. I tend to get like really hooked on a new Pro Evo for like, I'd say a month after I get it, and then it calms down. I don't play it again. I play it in like fits and starts. I'll play it solidly for a month, then nothing.
Yeah.
And a few months later, I'll pick it up again and get involved in a Master League. But for anyone like still R-ing, I mean, you can see my review up on www.brashgames.co.uk. I think it's fantastic. I mean, I've always been a Pro Evo fan, but this one really is the best Pro Evo that's been released in years. And
I will need to give it a go.
Yeah,
I saw the, like, some of the, you know, the screenshots.
Yeah.
It does look better. Like, obviously you expect it as each version comes in, but it does look better. That's the issue I've always had with Pro Evo. Like, FIFA always looks better.
See, I've always preferred the visual style of Pro Evo. It's just, it's got that kind of like Japanese, it's like I said before, like the hard lines, the sharper. I always think it just looks a bit sharper and the lighting's better. FIFA comes with all the fanfare, all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
But a lot of the players still look like they're suffering from downs. It's just one of the reasons.
Really going for it.
No, it is. They all just look like they're a bit away with the fairies. And it's the dead eyes on a lot of them as well. Like, I just can't deal with it. They've got strange faces. I don't know what it is about FIFA, but they're just not, the visual style's not for me. Out of the two, I definitely prefer Pro Evo. But hey, that's just me, you know. But I'm just saying, before, you know, anyone thinks about blindly going in and buying FIFA, I just think this year it might be worth having a...
I mean, there'll be demos on Xbox Live.
Oh, yeah, they were saying
as well.
And they wisely leave the commentary out of the Pro Evo demo, because that is one thing I'm into, that is still garbage.
It's just the same, like, maybe...
You think
it's just they have an afternoon in that box and they record.
A lot of it's the same stuff they've said for years, and it's all nonsense. It's not the kind of stuff... the thing is, FIFA's commentary has always been much better, and this year...
They sacked Andy Gray because of that whole sexism thing, didn't they?
Oh, they did, didn't he? I mean...
Don't say it like that.
He's a silly boy. No, I'm agreeing. They just, if you see, it was when, like, what was it? Big Ron called Marcel Desailly,
like,
a lazy...
let's not drop that one.
Let's not drop the N-bomb.
Yeah.
But you know what he said? It's just like, oh, dude, really? Just give it a while. Wait until you're home to see stuff like that. For the love of God, man. I would have loved to have been watching TV. Where was it? It was somewhere in Asia, wasn't it? Where they saw the cameras running.
Yeah, I think so.
And, imagine if it was just on... It was just...
The thing is, it confirms the stereotype that all footballers are just downright awful. Just awful people.
A lot of them are. Do you know what? I honestly don't think he's a racist, though. I just think he's an idiot. I just think he's one of those people. It was just a bantery thing. I don't think for a second he actually hates black people. I just think he's an idiot.
Well, I don't really know enough about him to.
I just think he's a moron.
I just think anyone that's willing to drop that word is.
As I said, you know, people immediately go, oh, he hates black. I don't think he hates black people. I just think he hates common sense.
Yeah.
I think that's his problem. I think he's an idiot. But hey, I mean,
we can all agree he was stupid.
Yeah, he was an idiot. There's no doubt about it. But as I said, Pro Evo, give it a go this week. It's very good, and I'm not saying it's better than FIFA, but it's a viable alternative, should we say? You know, if you
I'll need to give it a shot. But it's been a long time since I played a football game.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, I'm just basically waiting for Assassin's Creed to come out. that looks awesome.
It does.
As I said, I kind of forced my way through Revelations just to catch up on the story, but Assassin's Creed 3 looks the balls. And I will finally get involved in the multiplayer, because you've been going on about this for ages. Tell me how great it is.
It's unique. Nothing like it. Mm-hmm. And when I started playing Brotherhood, me and my best friend would occasionally get a chance to play it together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was literally the single player. Well, I say the single, like, if you're on your own in the multiplayer, it's often a case of, it's like, there's, imagine like a cycle of murdering. So you are looking to murder a guy,
mm-hmm.
and he is looking to murder someone else, and that guy is looking to murder the guy that's about to murder you.
Also, no two people are ever looking to murder the same people.
Occasionally, yeah.
But rarely. But
very rarely.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds
pretty cool.
You have your assigned target. Well, the thing is, it would be if it didn't turn into such a clusterfuck. Because basically what happens is...
I love that term, clusterfuck.
Say you've acted really sneakily, mm-hmm. and really well and stabbed your target.
Yeah.
And then while that animation is happening, there's no way to hide the fact that you have just stabbed someone in the... You can't discreetly kill someone.
Oh,
it's like a massive, normally like a cutscene, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And while you're doing that, the person who is on your tail, you'll stand out like a sore thumb.
And they'll kill you.
So you have to bolt. You can't just,
kill and then be cool and walk away.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Unless the guy chasing you is really bad at the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that sounds like something they could iron out. The kills could be more subtle. And...
It's more, I don't know, because still, someone's going to drop to the ground.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, I haven't played it, so I don't know whereas, exactly how it works.
So that's why a lot of people, I think, were put off by that.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the actual team multiplayer mode, where there's four of you, you've got, this is the one I played, where you are either the prey or you're the hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And the prey, they can only stun their opponents. So basically, they need to be... I'll break it down how the multiplayer actually works. If you act in a way that is subtle and mm-hmm. discreet and try and blend in, you will be very hard to do anything against.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you run, fair enough, you'll be fat. If you know someone is on your tail and knows that you are the target, then you leg it.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, if you break into a run,
mm-hmm.
You bring attention to yourself and you make yourself a target.
Yeah, yeah.
And often the world will respond in a way that really makes you stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that works is if you are... prey.
And
someone who is hunting you down acts really conspicuously.
Yeah.
You can punch him in the face and stun him and run.
Okay.
But if he is very discreet, you can't do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's weird because even if you suspect him,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting one. I mean, I think it's commendable that it's not just another run around and shoot people. Because the thing is, even with because you do play some multiplayer games and they've got some interesting modes, but most people just fall back on Team Deathmatch.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing. So to kind of force more interesting ideas on people, it is good and I hope it kind of catches on.
The thing is, the gameplay, if you're with a good team and if you've got headsets on,
mm-hmm.
the game becomes amazing because if you've got good teammates and good opponents,
because mm-hmm.
you'll get chases.
So I've never got into online gaming and that kind of thing because I just dip a toe once in the blue moon. So I don't have that kind of community thing going on.
Yeah, I mean, in my Rainbow Six days, I used to play with a group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it was one of the
what was that on the 360?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I fucking loved the first Rainbow Six.
I think it was the unofficial Xbox magazine. I was on their forums for a bit, and then we all started playing Rainbow Six together.
Yeah, yeah,
and Gears of War as well.
Yeah, yeah, that was
pretty good. It was pretty good because it meant, because...
So I just played all these games, a little bit. I probably played Rainbow Six a little bit more than most, but...
Yeah.
It was a strangely compelling game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It had that good mix of being tactical, but having enough kind of action to kind of keep you on your toes. So.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, I find it hard going back to something like Call of Duty after playing that, because it just seems a little bit a bit of a madhouse just charging forward.
A lot of the time, you're just a lot more careful. You find yourself getting stabbed in the back because you're not moving fast enough.
Yeah, yeah. See, I actually prefer... I like multiplayer games where they have that balance between having the action being quite immediate, but being able to take a more kind of tactical, slow, you know, cautious approach kind of thing. It's just a cautious approach in Call of Duty just doesn't seem to last 2 minutes before, like you say, someone comes up and stabs you in the back.
But
other than that,
sorry, back to Assassin's
Creed. Sorry. Yeah, carry on.
Have you seen any of the naval combat stuff?
Yeah, I saw some of that. That looked kind of cool. I mean, I just hope they don't kind of stretch themselves too thinly. Because, I mean, with some of the... Especially the last one, it was so many ideas, and some of them worked. Like those, what were they called? The bits when you had to protect your bases. That was horrible.
Yeah, it was really horrible. Like, I quite like tower defense games, but that one was just
really, really bad.
It was kind of arbitrary. It's like
it was just unnecessary. They were just like, "Oh, we got to do something new."
I mean, who gets to that point anyway? Because you had to do quite a lot to get someone to come and invade your territory.
Most of
the time, you just rip a poster off the wall and bribe someone.
Yeah, like it happened to me like a couple of times, and I did it once, and I was like, "This was shit." So I literally just never did it again. And if they wanted to take over my base, I was just like, fill your boots, mate. I just cannot be bothered.
Well, I mean, the third one, this naval combat looks good. Mm-hmm. Like, hopefully it's fun.
Yeah.
Because it certainly
certainly
looks fun.
Yeah.
It was really gorgeous. Like, amazing. Like,
The
dynamic weather effects. Like, that storm cool, when they sail from, like, this really sunny archipelago out into this massive storm.
Yeah.
And the way, like, you have to, like, time it with swells, like, fire the cannon while the side of your ship is upwards to get maximum kind of range.
See, it does sound like they've planned this out much better. And in general, I mean, with Assassin's Creed 3...
Well, it's a whole new engine.
Yeah, and they've been working on this for, like, 3 years, I think. Whereas Revelations, obviously, they were like, oh, we're going to keep to our yearly release thing. So they had another team working on that. It obviously didn't have the same kind of...
Budget
or the same kind of, you know... They weren't looking to innovate necessarily. They're just like, well, we're going to finish this story. It's the same engine. We'll tack something on. It was bullshit. Nobody cared. Assassin's Creed 3, everything about that, from the setting, I love the idea of having it in the American Revolution. I think that's an amazing...
Yeah.
Because everyone kept saying about World War II, and now I see this, and I'm just like, why the hell didn't somebody mention this before? This is an ingenious...
I mean, World War II would be cool. I thought Victorian London
too many
be
guns,
fun.
Though, maybe.
Yeah, well, that is the thing. I mean, there's going to be guns in this one, but they take forever to reload.
Exactly, yeah. It kind of still makes sense, whereas if everybody's got a machine gun...
I mean, even American Civil War could work.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
like 100 years later, but still.
I think it could still work. But the great thing about this is that I think outside of America, like, the American Revolution isn't all that well known. But it's an interesting point in history.
As Brits, you know, we're aware of it.
Oh, we're aware of it, but I'd say your average Joe on the street doesn't know a great deal about the American Revolution.
Well, as a history nerd, you know, I'm...
Yeah, but you're a history nerd, as I said.
That's what I mean, like, not... Like, not that many people are going to know their history in general, so...
No, but certainly I think the American Revolution is one of those things which, you know, I can't remember it ever being touched upon in high school or anything. And so I think it'll be don't get me wrong, don't take your history from video games, but I think there'll be that kind of combination of nonsense with just enough kind of historical accuracy to make it kind of, you know, quite
seem
interesting.
Relevant. Yeah, there's stuff like the Boston Tea Party's in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think George Washington's in there.
Yeah, and they'll have all the kind of architecture from the time. I mean, they have the usual thing, don't they?
Where got New York.
You can read about each, like, location.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I mean, you've got New York and Boston.
Yeah.
They are the two cities in the game.
That sounds pretty cool.
And then you have, like, the frontier.
Yeah,
which is apparently bigger than Rome. I feel you today.
Oh my god, I'm tired. But because I actually missed. I remember the first Assassin's Creed was that you had to travel between each location.
Oh, such a pain in the ass.
I quite enjoyed it. I thought it gave the whole game a sense of scale.
That's true, but it also was really needlessly. The whole game was needlessly repetition.
But I thought that could have been worked on to kind of flesh out the connecting areas between each place, and I thought it would have made it a bit more interesting, but you know, it was like, what was it, the last one was mostly set just in Constantinople, wasn't it?
Entirely.
I think it kind of cuts away once to that underground layer thing, which was a bit bogus.
Yeah,
but you know, it was just like the whole game being set in one city. By the end of it, I was just like, yeah, it'd be nice if I was going somewhere else, and because the first game had three locations, was it, I think?
Accra, Jerusalem, and somewhere else.
Oh, you were doing so well. I thought that was going to be great. I thought you were going to have all three.
Damascus.
That's why we got you on this podcast.
I am a history nerd.
Boys got facts. Boys yeah. got facts.
Yeah, and then the city, like number two had had Florence.
Florence,
and then
what else was it?
They only go to Rome at the end.
Yeah,
and I guess I mean it's been out for a while, so spoilers. Mm-hmm. But the end of the second one, where you fight with the Pope. That is the best ending to a game ever.
It is a pretty decent one.
Like, you have knuckles up with a Pope.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? But it works for the game, and they kind of build it up. But as I said in a previous podcast, I actually really like the whole story of... I like the Assassin's Creed setup.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Animus was a stroke of genius, and,
Sorry, I'm just remembering the Family Guy. You're making the Pope look like a fool!
yeah, he's
a cooking of something up.
He's a cooking of something up. It does seem... You know, I haven't even thought about it, but the fact that they did have you fighting a Pope, I mean, now I'm just thinking about
it's not even like a sword fight, which kind of noble.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? There's something like, to say about a kind of, yeah, just good old-fashioned boxing match with the Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit of a strange one. Maybe they'll have you boxing George Washington in Assassin's Creed 3. Jesus Christ. But I have to ask, it's been revealed this week, the PlayStation 3 Super Slim. Now, I'm not sure if you've seen it, but...
I have.
Oh, it's ugly as shit.
I don't think it's that ugly.
It's got the stupid, like the flip-open top, which makes it look cheap, like the old... Remember, the PS2 plastic. Slim. And, like, I would get this if it was released, like, I don't know, a year or two ago, but are people... nobody's going to upgrade. Like, the Slim is gorgeous. Nobody's got a Slim... is going to go out and buy this instead.
Well, the thing is, they've decided that there isn't going to be a price drop either.
That's the thing. It's no cheaper than the Slim. The Slim looks better. It's the same price. Who is the market for this? I mean, other than just a vague attempt to kind of drum up some interest for the PS3, but you're thinking with... like
how much life is there left in that
console? Well, PS4 is coming out next year. There's no doubt about it. It'll be... it'll be announced. There's
random
no
speculation on Brashcast.
It's not random speculation. You can put that down as facts, folks. Listen, I mean, they have to come out next year. They'll be announced at E3. Someone has to have a go because they're winding down now. If anything, they did well to push it because everyone was expecting it last year, weren't they? And they've left it another year.
Well, when they announced it, they did say that they wanted this generation to last, what was it, 7-8 years?
Yeah, which is done.
The 360 has. Next year, obviously, the PS3.
Well, the PS3, Sony's hand's going to be forced by Microsoft. Yeah. If Microsoft, they're not going to have it again like they did this generation, where the PlayStation 3 is coming out a year after the Xbox 360 and it's already got an install base. That's not going to happen. Basically, as soon as the 360 is announced, they'll want the PS4 announced as well. They'll be going up against each other, and it'll be a miracle if it's not this Christmas.
I would be surprised if it doesn't turn into just another pissing match between the two of them.
It will be, of course, but, you know, the thing is, hopefully it'll be a better start to this generation, or the next generation, than it was this one, because between the Red Ring of Death, the fact that the PlayStation 3 was an overpriced turd for quite a while.
That you could heat. It looked like a George Foreman grill, and it was about the same temperature.
Yeah, it was quieter, though. And the Xbox sounded like it was going to take off.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to fly through the freaking roof sometimes. It was the noisiest console ever.
I still wish I had a Slim.
A Slim? Oh, the
PS... a 360 Slim.
Oh, a 360 Slim is fucking
good. I've got an Elite, and it's like...
I took it back and just checked
Every time it doesn't read the disc first time, oh, fuck, it's happened.
It's game over. Yeah, I was just like, as soon as the Slim came out, I was like, I'm just going to trade in my one and pay the difference, because I was just like, I can't be dealing with... I had three Red Rings of Death, consoles. I was like, I'm not going for another. But I don't usually trade in for the Slim versions, but I did it for the PlayStation 1 as well, because the PlayStation 3, I actually quite liked the PlayStation 3 Fat, because it looked expensive. It did look like a
kind of... And it weighed a ton.
It did, but it was massive. And in fairness, the Slim does look really smart.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, as great as the Slim looks, the Super Slim, whatever it's called, doesn't look as nice.
Yeah.
It has that cheap, tacky opening top. It's no cheaper.
I think it's just so they can push some new deals for Christmas. I really think that.
Yeah,
it is,
but I'm just like, surely, because obviously the idea has got to be to drum up interest for the inevitable coming of PlayStation 4. Why not drop the price considerably, get it in people's hands, get games off the shelf, and, you know...
Or make some games for the Vita.
Well, yeah, the Vita's a whole other bloody issue, guys.
I mean, they're getting an exclusive... Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, but it's...
Which could be interesting.
Isn't it coming out... No, it's coming out the same time, I think.
Yeah.
There was the PlayStation 3, and that was the worst thing they could have done, because everyone's just going to be playing the PlayStation 3 version. The one thing I'll say about Vita, and I actually wrote a blog about this, www.brassgames.co.uk, is I don't think you can judge or write off the Vita until Call of Duty rocks up. I think that is the potential game changer, because...
Black Ops 2 does look good, or Black Ops Declassified.
Declassified, yeah. The fact is, that is the kind of game... which I'll get Vitas in hand. You know, if that is in any way kind of comparable to the PS3 version, they can get the online hooked up, then that is the kind of game that will get kids. They'll be like, I've got to get this Vita. Because at the moment, there's just...
All the Vitas I've traded in at work are people that are like, I love it, it's a great piece of equipment, but there's nothing for it.
There is nothing.
Because once you've played Uncharted, which I still don't think is the best game on the Vita.
I think
Rayman... it's possibly the best game on the
market. Rayman's a great game. Rayman's so good. But again, it's not a system seller because it's already
out. It's not exclusive, yeah.
You need... That's the problem. It had its system seller. In fairness, the launch... One of the things they could have done is spread out the launch lineup because they threw out too much too quick, and then there was nothing. I can't believe after all these years, after all these fucking consoles, people are still fucking up the launches. I find it bizarre.
I can't...
The 3DS launch lineup was like a chimp's tea party. I mean, yeah. What were they thinking?
I can't believe we haven't actually spoken about this for the Vita yet, especially with us, well, me talking about my love for Final Fantasy.
Mm.
But basically, they've got the digital library opening up for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
And what they were talking about, what they promised, and this was specifically a worldwide one as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they were talking about 100 titles.
Yeah.
That they were going to release for the Vita for digital download.
Yeah.
In the States, they got 9.
Nine,
right? In the UK, we got 50.
Yeah.
In Japan, I think it was like 240.
How did?
They know where their market is, but yeah. That is insane. 9 out of 100.
They don't. I don't know, like Sony. How many times can they keep fucking up? It's almost as if they went, oh, you know, we fucking owned on the PS1, PS2, and then just threw in the towel.
They probably fixed it about 2 weeks later, but it's like, you know what? That really
is this another kick in the teeth.
It's a middle finger to your fans,
and it's bad press. And I just don't like the Vita. Like you say, there's no doubt about it. It's a brilliant piece of kit. Like, it's a technological marvel, and it should be. The console that brings handheld gaming back away from, you know, the kind of touchscreen crap that we've been dealing with. You know, I'm not a fan of, iOS games. I've got, you know, with the exception of there are a handful of games I'm playing. But to be honest, if I was going to play handheld games, I'd still prefer to play a Vita or a 3DS.
You call your cat a gaming snob.
I know, it's terrible. No, I play, the only place I play iOS games is on the toilet. That is literally it. The only time I ever play any game on my iPod is when I'm on the can.
Angry Turds.
My God, we're going to make fucking millions. That is a great idea. No, I've spent so much of my work time sitting on the can in work playing New Star Soccer. If you haven't played New Star Soccer, that is the best football game probably out of the moment. It costs 69 pence and it is amazingly addictive. It's an absolutely brilliant... Like I said, but even that... It's great for that kind of like, oh, I sit on the toilet, I play it for 5 minutes, that's fine. And the same with stuff like Angry Birds, yeah, whatever. But I can never imagine sitting at home and playing iOS games. It's just not going to happen. Whereas like a PS Vita,
until you find the right one. My girlfriend will attest to this because the sound effects in it were, I was pretty much immune to it.
Yeah.
After a while, I was like, oh, that is kind of annoying. I don't know why she. And then I turned around and she's like, are you still playing that? It's called Game Dev Story.
Yeah.
And it's by a little, I think like a little Korean company called Kairosoft.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, it's kind of weird. This one in particular, you are a game development studio.
Yeah.
So you hire like a designer and a developer.
Mm-hmm. Like, sounds like a more in-depth version of Sega Gaga. Can you remember that Dreamcast game? It was like never released over here.
Oh, right.
And okay. It was actually made by one of the developers. He just said, oh, can I make this game? And Sega were like, the Dreamcast is going down the pan. And they just gave him a really limited budget. And they're just like, yeah. And basically, you're working for Sega, working against the evil corporation, which is clearly PlayStation. And it's this like really bizarre RPG with like all Sega characters and
That's
stuff.
That's pretty funny.
It is. It's a really cool. I actually own it. If only because the idea was so cool.
I maybe need to have a look at that.
Yeah, but it's in Japanese. So for an RPG, as you can imagine, it's a really simple RPG, but I can't understand even simple Japanese.
This one, what you do is, so you start your company, and at the start, you're just making crappy little puzzle games. Like, trying to figure out what works together. Like,
this is on iOS, yeah?
Yeah. Like 69p.
Yeah.
And what you do is, as you make a bit of money from your games, mm-hmm. you get things like fan letters. People write letters to you saying how much they love your game. You get the Game of the Year awards, mm-hmm. which have like Legend of Helga, you know, like just ridiculous kind of
How
stuff.
How in
like
depth
that.
Is it? Is it quite simple? I mean, it's bound to be quite simple, I guess.
It is pretty simple. Yeah. Like,
but mind you, saying that,
there isn't really an end game.
Yeah, it's the same with New Star Soccer, though. It's a similar thing. It's iOS gaming at its best. It's a really good idea. It's simplified, but it's so insanely addictive.
Like at the top of your game, you'll be getting number ones at the Game of the Year awards.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be number one on the bestseller chart.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you can like advertise your game mm-hmm. and like keep it at number one for a matter of weeks, depending on how much money you want to spend.
That sounds pretty cool.
It's a really cool idea.
As I said, there are plenty of decent games on iOS, but. If ever I was to be accused of being a gaming snob, it is iOS games. I just have that state of mind where I'm just like, I'm playing this on the toilet and nowhere else. But as you say, Vita, though, at the moment, in terms of playing handheld games elsewhere, it's just like there's nothing there to really make me run out and buy that at all. The thing is, there are a lot of okay games, and there are okay games on the horizon, but there are no system sellers. Even Assassin's Creed, I think the fact that it's coming out the same time as Assassin's Creed proper, I just think it's going to be a slightly gimped version.
Well, the thing is, it's a different story, a different character, a female assassin this
time. It's going to be tricky to do on a handheld as well. I just think,
I don't know, two analog sticks and a big screen.
Yeah, but in terms of, like, I don't know, I just don't, I can just see it being a slightly gimped version where I just think something like Call of Duty, if they do a decent version of that, that I do really think can be the system seller that it needs. So I'm just saying, with Vita over here, don't write it off until, you know, Call of Duty comes out. And even the rest of the world, it's like anything else. People have written off the Vita, like, it's not going to happen. All you need is one killer app. All you need is a Monster Hunter in Japan. All you need is a Call of Duty here. And if you get it in people's hands, and then you get a few decent games out there, then the sales start coming.
Speaking of Monster Hunter, they have confirmed that the Wii will be region-locked.
The Wii U means
we are going to have... Yeah, sorry, the Wii U. So we are going to have to wait a long time for a Monster Hunter over here.
Yeah, Monster Hunter, it's another one of those games I do really like, and I've gone on the PSP.
If you're a Dark Souls fan, it makes sense that you would like Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I do like it. But it's, again, it's such an epic undertaking. Yeah. It really is. But, you know, it looks cool, and again, that guarantees a certain amount of sales in places mm-hmm. like Japan. Although I've heard, from what I've seen of it, this looks like a lot. Like, if any one of the Monster Hunter games is going to crack the West, this is the one that'll do it.
Yeah.
They've made kind of changes to the templates.
I think they've realised that with games like, Dragon's Dogma and things like that,
I love that game.
It didn't do particularly well, but it didn't do very badly.
No, I think it made money, and they're doing a pretty sizable expansion pack, which came out next year.
Yeah.
But that was one of those games where it wasn't perfect, and it's similar, I guess, to Skyrim. But the difference was that the battle system was classic Capcom.
Yeah.
It was so much more fun. And I enjoyed the exploration more because I knew when it came to battle battle system was pimp and it was fun. And I played the shit out of, for all my criticisms of Skyrim, I played Dragon's Dogma for so many hours. I mean, I finished it, did additional quests.
It seems to have large elements of it taken from like Shadow of the Colossus and stuff. Like,
it was like a combination
ability to climb up the monsters and stuff.
It's like it had a touch of Monster Hunter, a touch of Skyrim, and like you say, a touch of Shadow of the Colossus. And it came together into a game which was by no means perfect, but was almost... for me, anyway, was better than the sum of its parts.
Yeah,
I thought it was one of those games which I was surprised because I remember I got it for review. I'm not sure if I would have gone out and bought it, especially I wouldn't have bought it straight away. But I had it for review. I was like, oh, this, you know, it looks kind of cool, and I've always been a big fan of Capcom. But I played the shit out of that game. Really, really got into it. But and, you know, if they ever release a sequel, I'd be all over
Speaking
it.
Speaking of Capcom, I haven't yet, and I will for the next episode, but have you played the Resi 6 demo yet?
I haven't. I've downloaded it, and I haven't played it yet. But
I've heard so much bitching about it.
I heard bitching before the demo even came.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of issues about the pacing being fucked up. It's just been an action game.
It's an
game
action
again.
Game, yeah.
I'm not as worried about that, because as I said before, I think of Resident Evil. Resident Evil was never the scariest game. It wasn't. Everyone looks back at Resident Evil 2 like it was the scariest thing ever. It wasn't that scary. Silent Hill was scary back in the day.
Yes.
Resident Evil wasn't. It was jumpy once or twice. I can see why people are upset that it's moved away from the survival horror aspect. But in today's market, you know how much money they spent on Resident Evil 6. And if it's going to be viable for Capcom, it has to be an action game. It has to be.
Well, the thing is, the Nemesis did add that element of you being tormented. Like, you were never safe. You never felt safe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, zombies move slowly. You know, and you get, like, obviously, the thing with Resident Evil was the cameras, especially in the older ones.
Yeah.
You never really saw what was in a room until you explored it properly.
People look back at that, and I think there's a hint of the rose-tinted glasses there. It did add a sense of mood.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was cumbersome as fuck sometimes. As you kept walking back and forth between two screens because the controllers changed.
It wasn't even that. It was like, obviously, the whole thing about not, like, you weren't a superhuman and you had to conserve your ammo.
No, it was like, interesting.
There was the fact that you had to wait until that zombie was very close.
Yeah.
To start pulling the trigger because you weren't sure if you were aiming at the right part.
Yeah, there was that. They did use the kind of wonky design smartly, and, you know, to kind of add to that survival horror element. But that's not going to fly today, and Resident Evil's a very different frat. It's obviously, that's the kind of, you know, arguably the jewel in the crown now, you know, other than maybe Street Fighter. But sales-wise, Resident Evil's going to be a bigger seller than Street Fighter 4, definitely.
Yeah, when I think about it, yeah.
But
it's pretty sad, that, really.
No, I mean, I love Resident Evil, and the new one, I'm intrigued, but, I mean, it sounds like such an epic undertaking, because they're saying, there are three campaigns, and each one's 75% the size of Resident Evil 5 alone.
Yeah.
And they're obviously trying to keep everyone happy by having elements of each different style of Resident Evil into one game.
I do love Raccoon City as well. It's such a cool...
It is. It's so iconic, cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
But speaking of that, I mean, obviously we were mentioning last week about Raccoon City being reimagined in Universal Studios Tokyo.
Yes.
Tokyo? Where the fuck's Tokyo? Tokyo.
Sounds like a smoking kind of thing.
It does. Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Oh my god, I could go for a cigarette. we got to stop talking about that.
Yeah.
But I hear that in America,
Universal over there.
They're doing Silent Hill.
Yes.
That sounds amazing.
They have fog machines all over the place. So,
immense.
A lot of the time you can never...
That is scary.
You can never see more than 2 feet in front of you. Like, I don't know what it is, because, you know, Americans, you always get that stereotype. They're very litigious.
Yeah, yeah.
So if someone trips and falls over, it's the fog's fault.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's, you know, stuff like that.
Someone's getting sued.
Yeah.
Someone's getting fucking sued.
Apparently, there's bits where it's so thick you can't see more than 2 feet in front of your
face.
That
sounds amazing.
But you can tell where the monsters are, because every once in a while you'll hear a high-pitched scream.
Someone
who's bumped into, like, Pyramid Head or something.
How bad they get... Are they going to have, like, the little... I almost said Mongo again.
You just did!
Oh, okay. I'm just going to say it. Do you think they'll have, like, the little Mongo baby things again? Like, the little horrific thing. Because they were the worst thing about Resident Evil, Silent Hill. Like, even in the movie, when they were chasing around. Like, I know there was CG, so it lost a bit of effect.
It was more the giggling. And then you turn around and you just see the shadow disappear into the wall.
Yeah, little babies.
That was terrifying.
Why is it? It's like babies are terrifying and, like, little girl ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, you see all these horror films...
Japan does that really well.
Oh, yeah, they do it. It's like, I remember that scene famously from The Grudge, when the woman wakes up in bed, and it's got, like, the little kid at the end of the bed, you know, he's like, No, the girl was, and the kid always meowed like a cat.
Yeah.
And she just screamed. It's like, I would go out swinging. I'm like, I want to see if these ghosts are tangible, because if they are, I'm going to fuck them up. I don't care if they're ghosts. The first thing I'm going to do is, like, well, I'm stuck in this situation, I'm going to punch this girl, and then I'm going to kick this little kid. And, you know, we're just going to see what happens. If that doesn't work, which it probably won't, in fairness.
It reminds me of Red Dwarf, when it's like Lister knows he's going to die.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So he like rips like a bit of metal off the wall, and he's like, you can't bash, remember that, you can't bash death on the head. He's like, if he comes near me, I'm going to rip his nipples off.
Yes, that is the attitude to have. If I wake up and there's a little girl ghost and a little boy ghost meowing at me at the fucking end of the bed like a lunatic, I'm just going to get violent. I'm just going to punch and see how that works. Yeah. I mean, it may well not work out. I may not be able to rip his nipples off, as so succinctly put it. But I'm not just going to sit there, roll over. Because, like, you know, you see what happens to those kids in the Ring movies and stuff. The faces go all messed up. And I'm like, I ain't going out like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to at least try and punch my way out of there. It wouldn't be much of a horror film, in fairness, if that was like the opening scene. Like, I'm lying in bed, and all of a sudden, like, the little girl goes and the little boy goes rock up, and I just kick the shit out of him. Game over, end of the film. It's just like, oh well, that wasn't so hot, was it?
Yeah, not so good.
No, but Silent Hill theme park though, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, the picture that I saw was like the nurses kind of shambling out of the mist.
Yeah, they're kind of like
pretty cool.
Almost hot nurses. It's kind of weird. Well, like, that's like the head down. You're like,
obviously it's obviously meant like as an allegory, especially in the second one. You know, yeah, yeah. Every different monster is an allegory for part of his personality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the nurses were obviously lost. And
yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The Silent Hill game was great. I mean, I even liked reviewed it. www.pressgames.co.uk. Downpour. I really liked that. It wasn't again. The combat was garbage.
Yeah.
But in that same way...
Yeah, it's never meant to.
As the original Resident Evil, it worked because it gave the game that sense of panic kind of thing. And it was all mood, and it looked... I thought it looked really good. Again, it kind of came back to that kind of old-school Silent Hill design, because the one before Homecoming, I wasn't so keen on that.
Yeah, I'd heard that was really bad.
It wasn't even really bad. It just,
the room in Homecoming got pretty slated.
The room was a pretty good idea. Like, the idea, you know, you kept coming back to your room, like, things are changing, you look through the keyhole, it just wasn't kind of implemented as well as it could have been. Because the actual idea itself was pretty sweet, and just being stuck, like, always coming back to that same room and not being able to get out was all pretty creepy, and I liked the concept.
Yeah.
But as I said, they didn't make the most of it at all, but...
Have we spoken about Slender Man yet?
Slender Man?
Yeah.
How Slender Man?
It was this online...
Gonna say no, then.
It was this online, phenomenon. It was, like, a thing that they spoke about in forums quite a lot, mm-hmm. an online horror story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And basically, it's about this character. He lives in the woods,
mm-hmm.
and he wears, like a suit.
Yeah.
But he's got kind of really, his arms are too long and his legs are too long,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't really have features on his face.
Okay.
So it's all about, you're walking through the woods, and there's no sound, no ambient music, no noises, just the crunch of your feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free game, I'm pretty sure.
The way it's happening is almost like a horror story.
Yeah,
I feel like some marshmallows where you outside, fire, something.
Yeah, the call was coming from inside.
Yeah, that's exactly what I went to. Either that or he had a claw or something.
He had a hook for a hand.
Yeah,
yeah,
a hook for a hand, yeah.
But yeah, so you're trying to find these eight, pages
mm-hmm.
That are scattered throughout, and it's very hard to tell, what really direction you're moving in, because it's all trees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There are things dotted throughout it, it seems like power generators and stuff. Yeah, just things that you might find in some woods.
Mm-hmm. Just knocking about the woods. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know, there's not a lot to do in Perthshire, so...
No, that's fair enough. Yeah,
But yeah.
It's the dogging.
Yeah, I don't think there is that in the game. But
it's not an authentic one if it's not
dogging it. You find these pictures, mm-hmm. and they're normally stuck nailed to trees and stuff, and you've got to pick up eight of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So for the first while, and it's just by torchlight as well.
Okay.
So you can only see a cone in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And what will happen is you'll be walking around, and then after you pick up the first one, and it's normally a very roughly drawn picture of Slender Man, with no written all like someone's gone mad, written all over it, and you pick that one up, and from then it's game on,
because
he's stalking you.
So where can you get this game again? Sorry,
it's free. I'm pretty sure you just Google it.
Just Google it. Take it to the game. Yeah, yeah. Is it well made, the game, or
it's Yeah, I mean, it does what it should do very well.
Oh, fair play.
I mean, the fact that he's not very well rendered kind of adds to how creepy he is.
Yeah, fair enough.
But what will happen is you'll just catch glimpses of him as you turn.
Oh, okay.
And then you'll look back and he's gone.
Is it genuinely unnerving?
Oh, yeah.
Because there are very few games which are genuinely
The one to watch is the action videos.
Yeah.
Because it is people, really
being freaked
tense.
Out.
And it's horrible to watch, kind of.
They have reaction videos for this.
Yeah, yeah.
See, when I think of reaction videos, I think of...
No.
I've never seen it. I'm just aware of the videos.
The Kermit with the Frog one, and the old lady, what? What is that?
What the hell's going on? Oh, my God!
Oh, what's wrong with you?
I didn't want, I'm usually not squirmish, but it's like this is being built up so much now that I'm like, I don't think I'm ever going to see that.
Yeah.
You're not
missing anything.
Oh, you've seen it, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've fucking seen it already, dude.
It's not pleasant.
No, I can't imagine. Well, I get the gist.
You'll never.
I heard what it is, and I just thought to myself, it's one of those things. It's like I could probably die a happy man.
You'll never go to the Pizza Hut ice cream factory again. Let's put it that way.
Oh dear. Yeah. Okay. We'll leave that. Yeah. We're not going to end the podcast there. We'll end it soon, but we're not going to end it on Two Girls One Cup.
But so Slender Man, and then basically what happens is your screen goes grainy.
You get
this really high pitched sound when he's close.
Yeah, and that sounds pretty cool.
The idea is not to look at him. That's how you win the game.
Okay.
So you have to run.
Yeah.
But apparently he has ways of making you look at him. So he'll trick you into looking in a certain way.
Yeah.
And then he'll be right in front of you.
Yeah.
So it's probably jump scares as well. It's more when nothing's happening. That's when the tension builds.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this last week, I think, about the best horror films are when you don't see anything.
Yeah, yeah.
When it is quiet and when it is just your imagination kind of thing, and they are the most effective things. And that is one thing you often don't get in video games, obviously, because there has to be an element of action.
Yeah.
So hence why I don't think Silent Hill 2 looks scary at all, because they're throwing all the monsters right up front and center. You know, you see the big poster. It looks so schlocky. It's got Pyramid Head on the poster and everything's there.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know, Silent Hill is at its creepiest when you can't see anything.
Yeah.
When you're running through the fog up. And you just hear the noises. Yeah. And even with Pyramid Head, where am I from? Pyramid Head. He's at his best when he's used sparingly.
Yeah.
When you just see glimpses of him and you're suddenly like, you have to run away.
Yeah.
So, that looks garbage. But that actually sounds really cool, so I'll definitely be checking that out.
Yeah, it's a free game.
Yeah.
Slender.
That sounds pretty pimp. Yeah. But was there anything else you wanted to bring? Because we were going to talk, we're going to have a chat about, why it's still worth playing the Wii and, why it might even be worth buying one for a few people because there are still games out there. But we're over an hour now. That's going to have to wait for another week. But is there anything else you wanted to bring up before we wrap this bad boy up?
No. I mean, I'm going to be away next week.
Oh, such a shame. First week without...
Yeah, I mean, I can't really... I can't phone it in from Glenshee, so...
No, you're going up to the Highlands, aren't you?
Yeah, well, going to... It's not quite that. It's over... It's past Perthshire, technically it is.
Highland territory.
Yeah. It's Glenshee, a big mountain where rich people go to ski.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend's folks are from... near there, so
yeah. Oh, that should be good. Well, I'm gonna try and get replacements in next week. The thing is, it's probably going to be three or four of my friends from work, none of who know fuck all about video games. So I don't know how that's gonna work, but if it'll fill the gap, then
as long as they know something about movies, and...
they're fine about movies. So next week will probably be movie heavy, but I'm sure we'll have a bit of chat about video games somewhere along the lines. But, I watched a bunch of films this week. I was going to bring them up. I had this whole section ready on Liam's Hidden Treat of the Week. Actually, no.
Well, what we could do is if you want to record an extra, little bit, we can record a bit more, and then you could, we can have that for next week as well.
We could have that for next week. Is that going to confuse things?
Well, my ego does not accept that people are not going to want to listen to me next week.
Not going to want to listen to you. I just think there'll be a triumphant return with additional information. Believe me, after the fucking... it's going to be shit, the one next week. sorry, guys, if you're listening to it. I'm like, yeah, come along next week. It's going to be a bit of a mess. But, it'll fill the gap.
Yes, by the way, this one is so tightly scheduled.
Yeah, please do listen next week, by the way. Don't be put off by my negative comments. But, I am going to go with Liam's Hidden Treat for the week. I'm going to end the podcast with that. Maybe something we can do from now on.
Okay.
Our first official segment. Okay. Liam's Hidden Treat for the week. I was really hoping you'd do that then. I was really hoping you'd come with a jingle. So we got that covered. But it's a movie. I'd never heard of it, and it's called God Bless America. It's a movie by Bobcat Goldthwait, which I think you'll agree is a fucking amazing name. He was the dude who played Officer Zed on Police Academy, the one who always looked like he was, you know, he's on crack.
Yeah.
You know, he had, like, the stupid screechy voice and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did a film a few years ago about... a lot more serious than it sounds, about, I'm sure it was him who directed it, where basically it was like a couple, and they want to tell the truth about everything. They're like, oh, we want to know everything about each other. And basically, this girl, like, once, just to try it, had sucked off a dog. So she tells her boyfriend, and of course is dealing with the aftermath of kind of, you know, that truthful moment, and being like, oh, it was only the once and stuff. And it sounds like quite an interesting movie, and not as perverse as it initially sounds, you know, but I think people got caught up with the fact that it's like a woman sucked off a dog.
Yeah.
But he did that, but God Bless America, it's almost like a much more light-hearted, good-natured, Natural Born Killers almost.
Right, because
I know that sounds weird, but
light-hearted Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, there's still a lot of violence and there's a lot of death, and it's got a very clear hint of Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
But basically, this dude, everything's going wrong for him. He's like the nicest guy in the world, and he's just sick of kind of American culture. And they have clips of it up on TV, and these TV shows, stuff like The Kardashians and stuff like My Super Sweet 16, and it's brilliant because it is slightly exaggerated for the film. But it's so close.
Because you don't need to exaggerate.
No, you don't.
Sweet 16.
Oh, it's the worst, isn't it?
That is...
The first thing he does, actually, the first person he kills, is one of the girls from My Super Sweet 16.
All right, so it is actually, like, directly referenced. It's not, like, that
it's not called
show.
My Super Sweet 16. It's called Something Something Sweet 16.
Right.
It's obviously that. There's no two ways about it.
That sounds amazing. Because I have actually... I get, like, I'm a pretty chilled out person.
Yeah, yeah.
I get really mad watching My Sweet 16.
Yeah, and you watch it on this show and you're like, but that's actually what it's like. And
it's like,
the thing is, he's not, like, a malicious murderer. And the good thing about it, which wasn't the case in Natural Born Killers, where everybody was unpleasant, he's actually a really likable guy. And he's just, like, broken down by the fact that nobody's nice to each other. So he's just like... I'm just going to kill people.
It feels always justified.
Yeah, yeah. And they do a great job of justifying it, where you see him in the film, you're just like, I want him to do well because he's such a nice guy and he's just killing people.
That kind of Dexter kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, who deserve to die. And I'm not going to ruin it, but the first kill in the film, there's a dream sequence, which is kind of fucked up death scene, but the first kill is absolutely genius, the way they pull it off. But I had never heard of it. Maybe, you know, you guys have. But it's worth checking out. So that's Bobcat Goldthwait's God Bless America. So that is Liam's hidden treat for the week. And there it is. So on that note, we're going to leave it this week. We're obviously going to try and get something sorted for next week. But we'll be back to normal in 2 weeks when this guy comes back from the woods.
Yes.
But until then, have a good week. And that's about it. Catch you later.